Hello and welcome to another episode of Brewing with Brewskis. My name's Doug and I'm joined this week, as I am every week, by my co-host Sean.
Hello.
And we're here to drink beers and talk about brewing decks. As we do every week, theoretically, we have been playing a deck and we're going to talk about a deck we want to build or a card we want to build around. Sometimes we have deck lists, sometimes we don't. It just depends on kind of how prepared we are, slash...
Or whether I remember to actually do it.
Or whether Sean remembers to actually do it. Sean was on vacation last week, so that's why it's been a little bit since we actually did a podcast. Hopefully these will actually come out somewhat coherently as far as posting goes. Anyway, we start out each and every week by talking about the beers we're drinking tonight, because it's always best to brew decks while drinking beers. Sean, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, since I was in Delaware for the last week, I brought home some Dogfish Head 60-Minute IPA.
Oh, Dogfish Head. It's like the gold standard of what IPAs are, and they're 60... What do they have? 60,
60, 90, and 120.
60, 90, 120. And their 120 is massively expensive and massively...
It's expensive and very strong.
Yeah. It's like you pay for per alcohol with them.
Yeah, something like that. I like the 60 and the 90 minute because it's not like a kick you in the taste buds IPA. It's just, you know... It's just a hoppy beer that I enjoy drinking.
Yeah. No,
as opposed to Trogs Perpetual, which I think I drank on another podcast, and that's definitely a kick you right in the taste buds type IPA.
So, like, it's the interesting thing with IPAs where they can either be, you know, try and be the strongest they can possibly be, or just be kind of like the most drinkable they can be.
Well, like, if you brew crappy beer and then just put a whole ton of hops into it, then your beer won't taste crappy. It'll just taste like hops. So it's really easy to just overhop a beer and sell it like that.
Yeah. No, that's a thing that can be done. Not saying that Perpetual does that. Just like, that is a thing that can be done. But there's an interesting balance there where you want to make it so you can drink like three or four of them in a row, but you don't have to drink a water in between all of them.
Right.
Or a different beer. Anyway, this week I'm drinking Founders All Day IPA. This is a season ale. This, like Dogfish 60 Minute is a lighter IPA. Like, so it's very hoppy, but it's something you can kind of just, you know, throw back a couple and not even really think about, you know, how hoppy it is. It has a very strong flavor, but it's not the strongest. And you can definitely throw down a couple of them without being like,
yeah,
my mouth, I need water.
Yeah.
So it's got that, and you know, as their tagline, All Day IPA, you know, tries to sell it as something you can drink all day. At 7.4% alcohol, it's very low on the IPA scale. So,
also, I mean, 60 minutes is 6%, so.
Right. Also, I've been at the bar for a little bit, so this is a...
This is an adventure that we're both taking together.
it's a better option than something that's excessively strong.
Right.
All right. Next thing up is that we run down the formats of at least standard and modern, ones we're looking to brew in at the moment. The Pro Tour Hour of Devastation happened just less than 24 hours ago. It ended. So we have the most up-to-date we will ever have.
Most likely.
So, quick format rundown. Actually, before we do the format rundown, let's do the Pro Tour rundown. And I'm going to do this from the best decks of Pro Tour Hour of Devastation, you know, starting at the 30-point decks, going to the 24-point decks from MTG Top 8. And we have top Ramenop Red, Mono black zombies, ramen up red again, zombies again, green black constrictor, black red aggro, mono black zombies, ramen up red, teamer energy. These are the 24 points. Ramen up red, 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 green black constrictor, red, red, Mardu vehicles, Golgari constrictor, or black green constrictor.
Black green snack.
Yep. It's basically, there's about...
I heard a lot of mono red in there.
Yeah, yep, there's a lot of mono red decks. There's eight. There's eight of them were mono red decks out of 18. So...
Did red just get that much better with Hour of Devastation?
So, yes. Yes and no. Hour of Devastation did provide a few things... Well, provided a lot of things for a mono red deck. And if we go into the standard metagame on MTG Goldfish, we'll have a better idea of what's going on in this format. So at
good, because I have no idea what's going on in this format.
Well, right, and that rundown is just the Pro Tour decks, which is kind
of... The Pro Tour is technically a small tournament. There's only a few hundred people there.
Yeah, exactly. It's a small tournament, but it's of the best players. So the metagame in it is not... It's not conducive for the overall metagame of X million players playing at, you know, FNM. It's just... It's what they thought was the best deck to compete against the other people that were going to bring what they thought was the best deck.
Fair enough. So besides Mono Red, we have... basically the same decks as last standard, the mono black zombies. I guess they're not splashing white anymore.
No, white was phased out fairly quick into the deck's construction and the deck's resurgence.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth splashing white just for 1/2 drop that you can't really cast on turn 2 very often anyway.
Well, and the idea of the Path to Exile that only works if it was attacked, or if it was blocking or blocked by a zombie.
Right.
It's very corner case, even in the zombie deck.
Right, and I also heard you say teamer energy.
Well,
at least once.
Well, the next one on the list is Mardu vehicles, which hasn't really changed significantly.
Right. It's still just play my one drop, play my vehicle, hit you for three.
Yeah. Except for now that, you know, they're running a Braids and maybe, you know, Chandra Tortured Defiance, since there are still two Chandras in Standard. Ugh. Anyway, following Mardu Vehicles is Teamer Energy.
That's the Marvelous Marvel deck, right?
Yeah, this is, like, basically Kaladesh block constructed.
Right.
With only a couple things coming in from... non-Kaladesh sets. A Braid, Chandra Flamecaller, Elder Deep Fiend in some lists, and some of the mana base. It's really just everything that energy was supposed to do and does, it just does it as best as possible.
So instead of Marvel, they have Bristling Hydra as their energy payoff.
Yeah, yeah. Next we have Green Black Energy. This one did... The versions of this deck did make the top 8 of Pro Tour. Big additions, Glintsleeve Siphoner, and...
Right, so this is just another snake deck.
Yeah, this is realistically just the snake deck, and...
Not a whole lot of new stuff happening in this.
Some are playing the Dreadlands as another untapped black source that they can use late game to remove a creature.
Right.
You know... In late game, if they put down a small blocker, you sack one of your lands to get it out of the way, and you just hit for big damages. Walking Ballista already did that, but this is just another version.
One word I didn't hear you say in all of that stuff that you read was control.
Well, we're just getting to that. The blue-red control decks coming in at the 6th in the metagame.
Well, you've switched lists on me.
Have I?
Yeah, you started out with the MTG top 8 from the Pro Tour, and now you're running down the percentages.
No, I'm running down the gatherer list.
Right.
Yeah, like, so just cover
But
the.
anyway, control didn't seem to do very well at the Pro Tour, is my point.
Well, yeah, no, it didn't make top anywhere near the top eight.
Right.
Well, some people took it deep into the tournament, but the control just got beaten out by the massive amount of aggro that was there at the tournament.
Right. Do you still think a control deck is viable, or just heavy aggro all the time?
So the reason that control kind of gets pushed out is because the red deck has the aggressive decks have sources of card advantage and low drop creatures, which is as an aggressive deck wants to do, but the control decks don't have as many low drop removal spells and or reversals of the way they have counter magic. So like the blue red control decks, which is on the top, quote unquote, they don't have any way to make the opponent discard cards, nor do they have a lot of interaction for the early game.
Right. So I'm just glad that I'm not gonna have to waste my time playing around sensor for too much longer.
I mean, that's not necessarily the truth. I mean, control just needs a little bit of time before it figures out the best way to attack the format, and that will generally make it better. All right, and then last two decks in the top eight, Green Red Pummeler. That's the extension, basically the extension of Teemer Energy with more combo finish, and then Blue White Monument, which has been a deck for a little bit, has made rounds, but didn't seem to show up in this Pro Tour.
Right. I think Monument is a very good card. It's just with all these aggro decks, you just can't take turn three off to play a Monument anymore.
It's an aggro deck that gets outraced by the red aggro deck.
Right.
So moving on to no, Affinity, moving on to Modern, we have Affinity at the top of this, and it looks like the Modern metagame, at least from MTG Goldfish, has been shaken up a little bit in that we have Affinity at the top of the format, followed by Titan Shift, Grixis Death Shadow, Eldrazi Tron, Gift Storm, which looks like it's splashing white for Path to Exile, and Wear Tear out of the board. Also playing Noxious Revival in some lists. That's awesome. Always love seeing that. We've got Burn, which is still your standard red-white burn, splashing green for sideboard cards. Green-black Tron is making a resurgence, it looks like. And then blue-white control. This your standard modern
Standard
Snapcaster.
modern metagame.
Right? Exactly. No, your typical modern blue-white control deck.
Yeah, and that's a recent development that actually started being good. The Tron decks usually chase the hard control decks out of the format.
Yeah, because they tend to have a lot bigger payoffs than the control decks do.
Right. And because they make the control decks constantly leave up mana, so they can't do anything on their turn, but Tron can just continue to build mana until they can pay for the extra mana from a mana leak, or they can cast their spell again off of a remand.
Yep. Yeah, no. It Tron and Tron is kind of a control deck in the way that it functions and that it just controls the board, but blue white control coming up in the top eight. Any notable things on the front page are Lantern Control is making another resurgence at 11th.
Yeah, Lantern Control got deep into a GP, I believe, so that's why people are picking it up again.
Yeah. Another deck just stonewalled by Stony Silence, if they
Well, you
don't.
have to be playing Stony Silence,
That's
and you have
true.
to draw it before they get their artifacts down.
It's a very small window that you have. Alrighty. Well,
I
that's.
mean, most of these look pretty typical, except Titan Shift is somehow the second most played deck in Modern.
Titan Shift's an interesting thing. That's something that's kind of been on the. It's not even been on the fringes. It's just kind of. It's been in the top. It's been flirting with the top eight and top decks of the format for literally forever. Like, it used to be Scape Shift, which was always kind of a tier 1.5, tier 1 deck, but the addition of putting Primeval Titan into it has really bumped it up, and with the way the format is going, if they're just able to survive until turn 5, they can just win out of nowhere and really put the a lot of the aggression and attack from the Death Shadow and Affinity decks to rest with their just out of win or out of nowhere win.
Right.
Alrighty. Moving on, now that we've covered the top of the format that we're trying to beat, let's move on to the decks that we have been playing. Sean, you've been playing a mono red Eldrazi list in the standard. How's that been going for you?
Yeah, so this uses Ramunap Ruins. I was playing this before the Pro Tour just got swamped by mono red, but this is not the mono red decks that they were playing. So I wanted to take advantage of the fact that Ramunap Ruins actually makes colorless mana. So I tried to use some of the Eldrazi from Battle for Zendikar block, and it seems to work. I also have Handwear Garrison in here, which is something that once it hits the table, you must have an answer to it, or you're just going to die.
Yeah, you have the Handwear Garrison, Handwear Battlements combo in here.
Right, and Handwear Battlements I actually use more for the fact that it can give creatures haste.
Yeah, that little bit of addition on something like a, you know, a late game Thought Knotseer, which
right,
as part of the Eldrazi package, you know, Reality Smasher and Thought Knotseer, you know, take something from your hand and then give it haste and bash for 4 seems very powerful.
Yeah, it just gives haste to all the creatures that don't already have it. Like, it makes Thought Knotseer, Matter Reshaper, and Handwear Garrison much better to draw in the late game.
Now, we've heard the creatures. Why don't you give us a rundown of the rest of the cards in the deck?
So it's your normal red removal spells. I have 1 Incendiary Flow, 2 Harnessed Lightning, 2 Magma Spray, and then the new card, the new kid on the block, a Braid. A Braid is just so useful. I mean, most of the time it's Lightning Strike a creature, but if you're up against, say, vehicles or whatever, this is a card that you can just slot into your main deck, and in the case that you go up against something where Shatter is good, you have a Shatter at your disposal.
More options is always better.
Right. And then I have 4 Chandra Torch of Defiance, mostly for card advantage, but sometimes you do need to remove something or even add a couple mana.
A Planeswalker that has 3 options. So basically it's almost like the red Cryptic Command, where you just play her sorcery speed, not exactly Cryptic Command, but you can either basically draw a card, ramp yourself, or deal 4 damage to a creature, or basically kill it, and then if it survives a little bit too long, it just ends the game really, really quickly.
Yeah, that's another thing where if it hits the table, then they need to have an immediate answer to it, or they're just gonna die.
Gets out of hand fast.
Yeah. So I'm running 26 land in this deck, which is sometimes a problem. You have 2 Desert of the Fervent, so you kind of mitigate that a little bit, but sometimes you just flood out.
I mean, you're running 2 Desert of the Fervent and 10 Mountains. The only way I can think of mitigating it would be putting 4 Desert of the Fervent and 8 Mountains, but I don't know.
The only thing about that is Desert of the Fervent enters tapped.
Yeah. I mean, but you're only running 4 tap lands in a 26 land deck, so the amount of times that you actually have to wait a turn for Desert is probably pretty low. But, you know, and for the fact that you can cycle it, just it kind of almost reduces your land count from 26 to 22. In the fact that you can just cycle any Desert of the Fervent you don't need.
So this is a mid-range deck anyway. It's not really an aggro deck, so Maybe adding more deserts will make it better. I've just had too many draws where I have two lands in my hand and they're both come into play tap deserts.
Yeah. Now, have you played this deck against the aggressive mono red decks?
I haven't, but I can only imagine it's bad.
You think it's bad against those?
I think it's a bad matchup, mostly because they're packing more removal than I am,
I mean,
and
you're.
also a Thought Knot Seer on turn four when they have no hand is no good.
Yeah. I mean, but you're running 13 sources of removal basically if you include Chandra.
Right.
So I mean, your removal package is there. Like, I mean, the way this deck looks, you got Eldrazi Obligators, Glorybringers, Handwear Garrison, you're just looking like survive up to turn 5 and then everything you're playing is just beats down.
Right. So I have played it against other aggro decks like zombies, and is very good against zombies. So
Yeah.
maybe it will be good against the mono red decks. It'll take time to find out. In the sideboard, we have two more Eldrazi Obligators. You don't usually cast Eldrazi Obligator to get the Act of Treason effect off of it. You usually just cast it as a 3/1 haste for three, and
Yeah.
just get in, keep punching in.
From the times I've actually tried the Eldrazi Obligator, yeah, you do cast it mostly just for the fact that it's a 3/1. If you have it versus, if the option is it versus Matter Reshaper, you might play Matter Reshaper earlier so that you can play Eldrazi Obligator later. But other than that, there's
Well,
no.
and the fact that Matter Reshaper does not have haste and Eldrazi Obligator does.
But it with its Act of Treason effect, it then becomes a 5-drop, and at that point you're running about like you're already running 7 other 5-drops, so having another 2 making it 9 makes it so that slot's kind of already taken up.
Right. All right, so I have an extra Reality Smasher if I think the game's gonna go long against, say, a green-black deck. Two Dragon Master Outcasts again for if I think the game's gonna go long, or if I just need to stick a 1/1 against control and hope that they can't do anything about it till I get the requisite number of lands. And also, I am playing 26 lands, so I can pretty much have 6 lands on turn 6 almost every game.
The thing about Dragon Master Outcast is interesting because it's something that they need to deal with at some point, because if not, it's just going to create 5/5s. But them wasting a card on it means that they're tapping their mana in a point where they don't want to, and it just gives you a door to put down something obnoxious, like a Thought Knot Seer or a Reality Smasher.
Right. I have two Akum Firebird in the sideboard. This wasn't my choice, this was someone else's. It's just a thing that I saw in a bunch of lists and decided to include. I haven't actually boarded it in against anything yet, but I can imagine there's a time that you're gonna need a flyer that is a recurring threat.
Imagine this is kind of like a mid-range game thing. Like if you're going up against, a Mardu Vehicles or, a Temur Energy kind of thing, just being able to bring in Akum Firebird to.
Well, Firebird is not good against vehicles because the vehicles fly.
Yeah, but you can. It's not really great against Harakiri, I guess, but against like the Temur Energy decks where it can just keep coming back and just keep hitting them. Like you draw lands for a few turns, this thing is just continuously coming back.
Right. I have an extra copy of Incendiary Flow. I'm only playing one in the main deck, but I could probably bump that up to both Incendiary Flow in the main deck because there's just so many things around that need to get exiled, and that puts me to four copies of cards that exile things that I need to get rid of.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
And I also have two extra Magma Sprays in the board because, well, sometimes you just need a whole bunch of Magma Sprays.
I mean, Magma Sprays are really good against Kenra Eternal.
They certainly are. two Sweltering Suns for the mirror or monument decks, or just sometimes Sweltering Suns is just good.
I mean, Sweltering Suns against the mono red decks is seems really good. And we didn't see much of Swelter, or at least I didn't see much of Sweltering Suns at the Pro Tour. You know,
Yeah, the few matches that I did get to watch, I didn't really see anybody with it in their sideboard.
yeah, and it seems like it's really great since the mono red decks really want to beat down which with low drop creatures. And so just being able to, you know, one card get rid of like all four of their or all two or three of their attackers, it's just it seems like great upside.
Right. And then the last card on my sideboard is Sky Sovereign Console Flagship. I actually really like this card, but it just never found its home. Well, I guess it still has one standard rotation to go, but it just hasn't found a home yet, which kind of makes me a little bit sad. I thought it would be as good as Inferno Titan.
I mean, the thing is, it's not as good as Infernal Titan straight up, but it's a very powerful card. The thing is it comes down too late for the three damage to really mean much. But that being said, it still can take over a game unanswered, and very powerful effects in the dealing three to any creature on the board. Also, it's a 6/5 flyer for five. With only a crew of three. So
Yeah, and I'm playing 21 creatures, and all of them except Hanweir Garrison can crew it.
yeah, and Hanweir Garrison makes 2/1/1 red things. So it and at least one of the humans that survives can crew it.
Right.
So everything in this deck can crew it, assuming that, you know, all your creatures haven't been killed, which is kind of the thing that Console Flagship suffers from, is that sometimes all your creatures are dead and your only thing is the flagship.
Well, I think all vehicles kind of suffer from that. Like, they hit you with a board wipe and you have no creatures. Now what?
Yeah, no, creature decks. And the thing is, board wipes in Standard are either, you know,
Well,
Bantu's last.
there's a billion board wipes in Standard, and there will be for a long time.
Well, yeah, but they're either all at 5 mana or all at 3 mana, but they have a downside, and that's either only Sweltering Suns only dealing 3 damage or Bantu's Last Reckoning making it so they don't untap next turn.
Bantu's Last Reckoning costs 6 mana. It says 3 on the card, but it costs 6 mana.
It costs 6 mana, but you can play it on turn 3.
Right. And then there's the white board wipe that makes you wait until there's 10 non-land permanents out.
Yeah, well, and there's also Fumigate, which gains you life, which sounds good against the aggressive decks, but at the point where you're casting it, you're gaining about 3 life and removing 3 creatures for 5 mana, and now you're at like probably like 7 after it resolves. In
And then they can just run you over.
which case, it takes about 1 haste creature and 2 activations of Ramunap Ruins, and you're dead.
Yep.
And that's assuming that you can remove the haste creature or block it or and block the next one. Yeah, no,
Well, like you said before, my card quality gets a lot better in the later turns, so.
I think this deck is actually very well positioned right now with everybody running the aggressive red decks. And you said it doesn't you haven't played against the red decks, but it does seem like it would have a good match against them, solely because of the amount of removal it's packing. At least in the, like, if I were to take this out, I would board it, have all the magma sprays in, and all of the abrades in.
All of the abrades are in. It's
Yes.
one incendiary flow and two magma sprays that are in the sideboard that I could probably main deck.
And probably taking out the incendiary flow and maybe a harnessed lightning. I don't know. That
Yeah,
has.
Harnessed Lightning just hasn't really done a whole lot for me. So maybe I put that in the sideboard for if I need more creature removal.
And also maybe play shocks, because everything you have in the creature spot is 3 and above. So if you're playing, if all your removal comes in at, you know, 1 mana, you can completely control the board at instant speed, not have to worry about much, and then start playing your bigger, better creatures and really just put the pressure on them. Like Eldrazi Obligator against some of the exert creatures, especially against the 3-2, what's his name? The 3-2 that exerts.
Couldn't tell you.
It's, hold on. Onkrop Crasher. That's what I'm talking about. So if you Eldrazi Obligator an Onkrop Crasher, now all of a sudden you have six attacking power, and not only one, but two of their creatures can't block, and you can exert it again.
Right.
So that's a super powerhouse. Now, I mean, I'd probably go down Matary Shapers for Eldrazi Obligators, but other than that, those two changes of just like suiting it up to be better against the aggro decks, that's all I would do, and I think this deck has real legs in this format.
Right. Well, I'll continue to test it because I do have a lot of fun playing it.
Yeah, it's always fun to be aggressive. All right, so what's next? Let me
Oh,
talk.
I think we're gonna pivot to modern.
Yep, we're gonna pivot to modern. I'm gonna talk about the deck that I talked about brewing last week, where it was my Nahiri Tokens deck, which kind of mashed together about three different tier 1.5 to tier 2 strategies, which
And
was
just made this glorious pile of
it
cards.
was it's a pile of cards, all right. Now this deck, I've ran it through a one win a box tournament and a couple times online, and it's done well against things that it does well against, but it does very poorly against things like Eldrazi. And also, it's also been murdered entirely by random sideboard cards.
So I would think that this is actually good against Eldrazi because, you're going wide and they're going big.
The main problem is Reality Smasher. There's nothing that I have that's really good against Reality Smasher.
Right.
Now, also, the two times I've gone against Reality Smasher, I've had Emrakul in my hand. Now, quick rundown of the deck. It's Nahiri and Emrakul, one Emrakul, four Nahiri, with the control package of four bolts, four lightning bolts. There's a bit of a prison theme with three blood moons, three ghostly prisons, and then there's the rest of its tokens with two servo exhibitions, four ghostly prison, no, four spectral possessions. They're ghosts, so I got it confused. Four Raise the Alarm, four Secure the Wastes, and then you have three Intangible Virtues and a Worship, 21 other lands.
Right.
Okay.
So I see seven cards that are good against Reality Smasher. Four Path to Exile and three Blood Moon.
Yes, that seems like they'd be really good, but the Reality Smasher decks are, first of all, they pack, wastes as part of their plan, so that if something gets path, so there's a little bit of a non-bo with path and Blood Moon. It's also that this deck doesn't provide enough pressure early game. Like it can provide pressure and it can close out games with its tokens, the token and intangible virtue package. Ghostly Prison is also not really great against Eldrazi, solely because they need a lot of mana already to cast their Eldrazi, so Ghostly Prison doesn't slow them down on that front.
Yeah, and Eldrazi are usually playing Tron lands nowadays, so
Yeah, the
they just
Eldrazi.
have infinite mana all the time.
Yeah, and the Eldrazi Tron lists are what really hits you. Mainly, so you play a lot of tokens, which are all 1/1s, which can block everything except for Reality Smasher and things that have trample.
Right.
So they're not really good in that sense. So your main form of protections are kind of limited. Your lightning bolts are now dead. You need Path to Exile, which you don't always get. Nahiri the Harbinger works out well, but if they just have a second one, that's when you really get punished.
Right, like you can play a Nahiri, take it down, and get rid of a Reality Smasher with no downside, but by that time it's already hit you for five.
Possibly, yeah. It definitely has. I mean, It's definitely a cool deck, and it has a bunch of wind. It's got a lot of potential. It just needs to hit kind of the right matchup, so it kind of puts it into like a solid tier two. Like, but this can wreck. It can wreck Death's Shadow because it's playing a token theme, and they just can't deal with the tokens. It's also playing a bit of a control thing. Blood Moon shuts them down. Ghostly Prison shuts them down. It's a very meta deck against Death Shadow. That being said, it does lose against Eldrazi strategies, but the only time I lost against non-Eldrazi strategy was when they played a Back to Nature, which is one in a green, destroy all enchantments. Which if that's being played in your meta, that's just going to wreck you.
Yeah, you're playing 10 enchantments and 9 in the sideboard. So, yeah, that seems like a thing you don't want to run into.
It was a one of sideboard card against an artifact deck in which I boarded in Wear Tears and Stony Silences. I
Yep.
should have had him. I
Yeah, you
should have had him.
should have.
But I kept a decent hand with no sideboard cards, and that just was just a poor play on my part.
Yeah.
Never drew it, never drew the enchantment hate, or never drew the stonies, never drew the wear tear, and he just all of a sudden, oh, bam, let me remove all your ghostly prisons, and then I'm gonna just do all the artifact things.
Yeah. How does it do against combo decks?
So combo decks are a non-interactive deck. So the other card is Indomitable Creativity, which is, main deck artifact and and creature removal. So it can get an Emrakul into the board on turn four.
Right. It can, but that's not what the deck usually does.
It's not exactly what the deck you does. So against combo decks is you're mainly relying on your sideboard cards and your aggression. Well, mainly on your sideboard cards and your disruption, which is Bolt and Path.
Yeah, but there's creatureless combo decks around.
Combo decks like Ad Nauseam, you're relying on Blood Moon, so they can't really cast their things very well.
Right. And even then, sometimes Blood Moon just doesn't work. Sometimes they just suspend two Lotus Blooms on turn one and might as well not even have a Blood Moon.
Sometimes that you also are playing one worship main board, which is can be very difficult for things like Ad Nauseam to beat.
Right, they can't get rid of, well,
They don't have many main deck enchantment removal.
damage. They don't, but they have Laboratory Maniac main deck.
But in game one you have Bolt and Path. So if any of them get stuck in your hand,
Yeah, and they
you just
have Pact of Negation.
true. And
They have
yes, they have.
three or four Pact of Negation after they draw their whole deck.
Yes, but the plan is to kind of stall them out until you can maybe get an Emrakul out, and in that case, you just kill them. I mean, I played this against couple Eldrazi decks. I played it against a Bant Nightfall deck, which I just destroyed, and played it against a Naya aggro deck that was using the Revolt synergies, and that I lost that, but only due to my own idiocy, where I made a miss block.
Oh, those are the best kind of losses.
Yeah, where I had an Emrakul and a 1/1 spirit token, and he attacked with a he had an Elspeth out and gave a Wild Nakato +3/+3 in flying, and he also attacked with the Tarmogoyf, and he had a Knight of the Reliquary out. I just put the two in front of the two. I said Emrakul's blocking the Tarmogoyf and the spirit's blocking the Nakatl, and he tapped the Knight of the Reliquary and brought out what's the land that
Keswick Wolfram.
yes sir brought that out. Gave
Yep,
it
that'll do it.
plus, I think it was plus like 6/+6 and trample,
It'd
and
be
so
plus six plus O.
yeah,
So it gives plus X plus O.
plus 6/+0 and trample, and I was at 8 and he ran me over, and I was just like,
Reap.
Well, that was my fault, not the deck's fault. So I've made a deck that I'm actually not great at playing.
Well, this is nothing new. You've been making decks that you're not great at playing for years.
Let's go with every deck I make is I'm not great at playing it. Quick rundown of the sideboard. Two Deflecting Palms for Death Shadow and aggro matchups. Two Lightning Helixes for burn. Wear Tears for artifact heavy matchups and also Ensnaring Bridge matchups. Leyline of Sanctity for anything that's going to attack your face and also burn. Especially like things like Jund, which rely on their hand attack spells. Three Rest in Peace for graveyard heavy matchups. These also come in against Death Shadow if you'd like to. Two Stony Silence for artifact and affinity things, and another Worship just because that card is really good if you have a whole bunch of or tokens.
What will you ever do if 8th edition is banned?
Cry sadly to myself.
Because I don't believe Worship was in 9th edition.
It was not. No, it was. It was. I have the version I have here is in 9th edition.
Oh, well.
But Blood Moon would be banned. Ensnaring Bridge would actually
No,
be banned too.
Blood Moon was in 9th edition.
Oh, was it?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, I feel like they're gonna if they're gonna ban things, it's gonna be individual cards, not whole sets.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna ban a whole set, but
8th edition has been there long enough that there plenty of people have been like burr, but for the most part it's just like yeah, that's there. There's a couple cards in it that are like not great for the modern format, but we live with them.
hey, if you can't play around Blood Moon, you probably don't deserve to win anyway.
Right? Blood Moon is like the fun police of the format.
Get good, scrub.
So, now we go into our build around segment, and I'm going to continue this from our last discussion of 8th edition being really good about things and go into a deck I've brewed up and haven't quite played with yet, but I actually have a deck list here that I've meant to take into thing into a tournament or a meant to play against a couple of people just to test it out, but haven't yet. But it's around Intruder Alarm, another 8th edition card that we love so much. Enchantment too for two and a blue. It says creatures don't untap during their controller's untap step, but whenever a creature comes into play, untap all creatures. So the combo that this is a Steward of Solidarity from our
Right, because you can just make infinite tokens.
exactly.
But it looks like you have 100 other ways to make infinite tokens as well.
Yeah, this whole deck is about just making infinite tokens.
So if someone puts the new Black Curse on you, that whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, it drains you for one.
I mean,
You're just boned.
that's not ideal, but I'm just gonna hope that nobody plays that in modern.
Well, there's always that perpetual threat of Splinter Twin coming back.
Right? And this is kind of what I'm playing. It's just like modern Splinter Twin. Again. Post-ban Splinter Twin. So
Right.
other combos with Intruder Alarm are a Thraben Doomsayer, which has the same ability but also has Fateful Hour. Creatures you control get plus
Yeah.
two, but it also costs one white, so it's a three drop. So kind of fighting the Intruder Alarm
Well,
slot.
then you have Midnight Guard plus Presence of Gond.
Midnight Guard plus Presence of Gond. Presence of Gond actually serves a unique role in this because it gives any creature the tap to make a creature ability. So other cards like Noble Hierarch and Birds of Paradise, which are just there for ramp, you can enchant one of those with Presence of Gond, and if you have an Intruder Alarm out, that creates an infinite combo.
Yeah, so you have 7 copies that you need to draw 2 of, and then 19 copies that you need to draw 1 of.
So there's plenty of different ways to combo off in here. Other notable cards, Sean said Midnight Guard. That is kind of a separate Intruder Alarm that only works with Presence of Gond. But if you just get those two cards, they combo off by themselves. And then other things are the three couple instances of Blossoming Defense and four Path to Exile for for removal and protection. And then you have two Idyllic Tutor, which I'm gonna try in this, which are just Idyllic Tutor is just a three mana get it. Get the combo piece that you need. Because
Yeah,
with
it's a three mana other half of your combo.
Yeah, exactly. So, it doesn't matter what creature I have out or which combination. If I just Idyllic Tutor for any of the enchantments, which are Intruder Alarm or Presence of God, they'll come down and just hopefully win the game. Like, to be f now the opponent has pl a turn to win the game against me or cast a Wrath, but that doesn't necessarily casting a Wrath doesn't necessarily mean I lose because so many cards I have combo with so many other cards I have, but they have one turn and one turn only to be able to produce that effect, and if they can't, then the game's just over on my turn.
So the appeal of Splinter Twin was always that if you resolve it on a creature that doesn't have summoning sickness, it just wins the game
Yeah.
on the spot. It doesn't give your opponent a chance to cast a sorcery speed Wrath or anything like that.
And I mean, they still had instant speed removal, which is what most of modern format is. Like the sorcery speed removal is stuff like Maelstrom Pulse
Or verdict,
or Supreme Verdict or
or
Wrath
Wrath
of
of God.
God. Yeah. But the question, how many decks are actually playing that? And you look at the top eight and it's
Well,
like, well, not
we just covered Blue-White Control plays two or three Supreme Verdicts.
Blue White Control does, and Tron also does, but other than that, nothing's really packing. Well, Eldrazi Tron, I guess, is packing hate for it.
But only two copies. The
Yeah.
trick with the Wraths is that they have to draw it. They have to have it. And then they have to cast it.
Yeah, they have to be prepared for it when you go off, and the acceleration of birds and nobles gives it so that you can a majority of in the times that you draw it, you can go off on turn three. So they have if they're they have their turn three or four to deal with it, and if they can't, they have that turn to do it, and they have nothing else, or they're just dead.
Right, and as far as the enchantments go, there's not a whole lot of enchantment hidden main decks, and also there's not a whole lot of Abrupt Decay running around anymore.
Yeah, Abrupt Decay has kind of solidified itself to the black green decks like Jund and Abzan, but they're not really that highly played in the meta
They're not even
necessarily.
highly played, it's not even highly played in those decks. Like, I've seen people cutting Abrupt Decays for Fatal Pushes just because push is easier to cast, it's one mana, and does essentially the same thing, and you don't need to have the can't be countered clause on Abrupt Decay anymore because control has basically been pushed out of the format.
And that's probably why control's making a resurgence, is because there's a less demand on uncounterable spells.
So have you actually tested this at all?
I have not as of yet. There's also 21 lands, fetch shock mana base with a few basics.
Yeah, normal Bant mana base.
I have not tested this as of yet, but I will. I'll give it a couple runs and see what needs fixing. I did notice in the Nahiri tokens list that I did need Wraths in the board to deal with like the Eldrazis.
Right.
So I'm sure I'll find the glaring weaknesses in this strategy. And it might just be the fact that it's too slow, or it might be the fact that too many people are running things, or it might be that it's not interactive enough, but it's a good it's a good template to start out from that will hopefully evolve with time.
Right.
But I mean, that's that deck. Sean, you wanted to do something interesting with God Pharaoh's Gift in Standard? Question
Yeah,
mark.
standard modern wherever it fits. I mean, I think modern's a bit of a stretch for a 7 mana artifact, so standard would probably be the best place to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 7 mana doesn't win on the spot artifact, but
But it's not a 7 mana do nothing.
is
So, I mean,
not a 7 mana do nothing.
the obvious thing that you want to do with a 7 mana all generic mana is put it in Tron. But unfortunately, it just does stone nothing in Tron.
It's not really the Tron card.
It's not really a Tron card.
I mean, if you
So
put in Eldrazi Tron and then no, it's
even then, Eldrazi Tron's only running 12, 16 creatures, between 12 and 16 creatures, so even then.
you could put it in Eldrazi Tron as like a sideboard against some of the more removal heavy matchups, but other than that, I don't think it's
At
really
best, it's a
good.
fun of in modern.
Yeah, but in standard.
But in standard, we have this great card called Refurbish, which allows you to get an artifact from the graveyard and put it on the battlefield for 4 mana. Okay, well, how do we get it in the graveyard, you say? Well, we have Tormenting Voice and Cathartic Reunion that we're going to be using to churn through our deck and try to find it in the first place, and if we find it early, then we can discard it to one of those.
I mean, you can also use, so like there's the other card that uses it well, which is Gate to the Afterlife, which actually
Right.
finds it for you for 3 mana. I think it's 3 mana. 3 mana and 2 to tap and sack it to.
Yep. 3 drop and then 2 tap and sack to get a card named God Pharaoh's Gift and put it on the battlefield. Now you can, this actually also searches your graveyard.
And graveyard and library. So what you could run one of those. And also in that set you could run Insolent Neonate
Right.
as another
Because we
creature.
are, because we're in red, because we're using Tormenting Voice and Cathartic Reunion, and it's just good to have more creatures that you can make 4/4s.
Well, and also the best thing about it is that you can, if no matter where it ends up, like if it's a lot of things that if it's in your hand, you don't want it to be in your hand because you want to be able to search for it from wherever. Because this says hand, graveyard, and library, it can be in your library. If you draw it, you can leave it in your hand if you want. You can discard it to Cathartic Reunion, and it's now in your graveyard, and now you can still get it from wherever it is. So that's the main upside of Gate to the Afterlife.
I mean, the front half of that card is not bad either. Whenever something you control dies, you gain a life and then you can loot.
Yeah, so then that gives you just another excuse to play Insolent Neonate.
Right. So, we're going to be churning through our deck at a good clip here. So, obviously this is going to be a combo deck. So, with any combo deck, you just have to ask, what's the payoff? Well, I think the payoff is going to be just creatures with good ETB effects. It doesn't matter what they are when you cast them because our goal is to not cast them.
Right.
So we just have to have creatures that make an impact when they hit the board. And my first thought when you think of good Enters the Battlefield effects in Standard is the Gearhulk Cycle.
Now, the Gears whole schedule is very powerful.
I mean, not the green one necessarily, but you could do the green one. I'm thinking more the white one, which almost wipes the board. I'm thinking the red one, which you're gonna be running probably 3 or 4 God Pharaoh's Gifts, so you can probably just hit your opponent for at least 7. Or the black Gearhulk, where you can destroy a creature and gain life equal to the toughness.
Yeah, no, those, all of them sound, I mean, the green one, not really, because it kind of requires you to have creatures on the battlefield.
No, it doesn't. You can put the counters on itself.
Oh, this is true. Oh, and it also gains haste, so that would be just an
Yeah, just
8/8
an 8/8
trample
with
out of
haste. But I
nowhere.
just don't think we're in green.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's the other, I mean, you could make it, like basically four colors, but I think you're now stretching the deck in too many ways.
I think that stretches the mana base a little too thin. I think I need to stay with two or three colors.
Yeah.
So I hesitate to mention Cloud Blazer because it puts me in another color, but if I just do an America deck, red, white, blue, then I think it should be fine.
Well, not all, you can do Cloud Blazer, which is just great to play on curve if you can. Also, things to consider if you're going into white are Angel of Invention.
Right.
Which is Flying Vigilance Lifelink, and other creatures you control get +1/+1. So if that comes back with Fabricate 2, so if that comes back as a 4/4 haste, you can make it a 6/6 Flying Vigilance Haste Lifelink, or you can make
basically it... Basically just Baneslayering.
Or you can make it a 4/4 and then make two other 2/2s, basically.
Right, yeah.
That's another thing you can do.
Well, I am in white because Refurbish is white.
Exactly. That's another way you can get it on the battlefield.
My only thing about Cloud Blazer is that we already have so many things that are letting us churn through our deck. Do we really need another card draw thing?
You always need another card draw thing.
Well, yeah. My goal is to deck myself at every opportunity.
Obviously.
Draw all the cards.
The person who draws the most cards wins.
Yeah. What are these life totals about?
Yeah, exactly.
And then I was also thinking about probably the best enters the battlefield effect in Standard or even Modern. Thought Knot Seer
is good.
Just great.
Another thing to consider, maybe Drowner of Hope, because
could be, but we're putting me into a third color again.
Well, if you're in blue
because of Cloud Blazer.
Yeah, because of Cloud Blazer, you can also run.
If my only blue card is a 6-drop, then I think I'm fine with just splashing blue because I don't ever need it at any point, and even if I have something that casts for blue, I have infinite number of turns till I need to actually find it.
Yeah, I mean, unless you want to run Strategic Alliance, which allows you to put things in your graveyard and draw a card, and allows you to churn through your deck pretty fast.
Right. So for a deck like this, I'm thinking, as far as land count, probably about 26, because you have 7-drops in your deck. Sometimes you're just going to need to cast your 7-drop.
Yep.
And we could even go as high as 28 and have some of those be Cycling Deserts. Obviously, you're going to need to have some of those make colorless mana because we're going to be putting Thought Knot Seer in the deck.
Well, I think you could go down to 25 if you put it, because we're going through the deck fast enough. I don't think
we do have so much card draw.
Yeah, I don't think it's uncommon to get to a high land count with a lot of draw effects.
Right.
I'm just looking through now, seeing if there's anything that's really effective when it enters the battlefield.
Yeah, but the only things that really came to mind for me were Gearhulk's Thought Knot Seer, Cloud Blazer, and the new card, Champion of Wits.
Oh, you know it'd be something interesting? If you put Maelstrom Wanderer in there? So, like, you play it as a 1-1, and you might be able to counter something, but if you reanimate it with it, it's a 4/4 flying haste that all of a sudden, if you can sack it to counter something unless somebody pays 4.
I think you have the wrong name.
A Mausoleum Wanderer, not Maelstrom Wanderer. Jesus.
Yeah.
the one blue flying spirit that whenever a spirit enters the battlefield gets +1/+1.
Yeah, because Maelstrom Wanderer is very much not standard legal.
And it's not Multiform Wonder, which is also a creature in this standard.
Yeah. Yeah, Mausoleum Wanderer, maybe, just as a 4/4 flyer, but at that point I think just getting the angel will probably be better.
I mean, it's a 4/4 flyer that also disrupts the opponent in the early and late game.
Well, you can. It's also a 1/1 that will never get exiled by, say, a magma spray or something.
Yeah, correct.
I don't know. I'll brew up something, get back to you in a couple weeks, see
Yeah.
how it fares.
I mean, yeah, I'm just trying to look through. I mean, Spell Queller obviously would be
Yeah, but
in.
it doesn't come in at instant speed from God Pharaoh's gift, so I think
Yeah.
things that benefit from having instant speed kinda move away from that.
Yeah. I mean, things you could also play are Torrential Gearhulk, which.
Right. I'm not too sure how many instants I'm gonna have. It's mostly gonna
Right.
be artifacts and creatures.
Right, you're right.
And the 8 card draw sorceries.
Unesh, Cryo Sphinx Sovereign.
That's a possibility. Getting a factor fiction is always good.
Yeah. Well, and the one guy that lets you draw two cards and discard two cards.
Champion of Wits?
Yes, sir.
I already said that.
Oh, well, it's no stranger to anybody that I am an idiot.
But if he comes in from the graveyard, you draw four and then discard two.
Yeah. Plus, if you don't actually have the Godfarer's Gift, he still does that.
Yeah, you can just eternalize them.
Yeah. What was the guy that I saw that fabricated Marionette Master? He's also an interesting way to go with this deck,
You mean
where.
the master of puppets that's pulling the strings?
Yes, sir, Mr. Metallica. He does an interesting effect with this in that his life total now because he's whenever something dies, they lose 4 life because they lose life equal to his
Well,
power.
it's only when an artifact dies, but he can make 3 artifacts when he comes in, or he can just be a 7/7.
Yeah, he can just be massive. Or he can put a whole bunch of chump blockers down, where if they were to attack into them, they now lose 4 life per guy that blocks them.
Right.
So, not necessarily saying you want to go into black, but if you.
Yeah, let's just make a Jeskai deck splashing a double black card.
Why not? It's standard, there's no Blood Moon. We don't have to worry about that.
I did say the black Gearhulk could fit in,
Yeah.
so maybe I am in black.
Could be 4 color.
Could be. The standard mana will support it.
I
It won't
mean,
be fun, but it'll support it.
the only thing you'd have to do is have an energy supplier for,
For Aether Hub?
yeah.
I don't think so. I think you would use more Spires of Industry than Aether Hub, but I think Aether Hub is fine with just being Tendo Ice Bridge most of the time.
It's always better to have just at least another thing. You know, if you're in red already, just like a Harness Lightning, where worst case
Yeah.
scenario, you can just target your own guy, get 3 energy, and now you have 3 activations of it. I mean, and
Right.
obviously you're gonna need a removal spell anyway, so, you know, get him dead there.
Yeah.
No, I like.
I like where this is going. I just have to actually put a list together and not be lazy.
Right. Put a co because we can list cards for days that would sound good in it,
Yeah.
but like at a
But
certain
when you get to gameplay, it's a whole other level.
point, like we could go, oh, you know what? I want to build a green red deck in modern. What do we put? Well, okay, well we put Tarmogoyf and we put Goblin Guide
Lightning Bolt.
and we put
You're
Lightning Bolt.
playing red. It's Lightning Bolt.
Yeah, and then we put Fatal Push, and then we put, you
You said
know.
green red. You can't cast Fatal Push off green and red mana.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, we could go into
So then we
Jund.
just make it literally Jund.
Right? Exactly.
I don't know where this was going.
Was going like, yeah, we can just kind of go into the best deck if we want to, but we can also try something different and hope that it works out.
Right.
Alrighty. Well, Sean, I expect to hear a God Pharaoh's Gift deck from you next
In
week.
the coming weeks.
In the coming weeks, we'll see a God Pharaoh's Gift deck from Sean that does amazing things.
It'll do some things.
It'll do things. It'll not do nothing. All right, I think we've gotten the bar low enough that you can exceed it. All righty. I think that'll wrap us up for this episode of Brewing of, with Brewskies. You can follow us on Twitter at BWBMTG. I've got the first 2 weeks of puzzles. Should have the next puzzle up either before or slightly after this one goes up.
Should have checked Gatherer before you put that one up.
Right, yeah, I messed up on the one because my buddy that's a judge gave me the wrong calling and he said it would work. And I put it up, and then our follower, shout out to Sam, he called us out on it. Yeah, that doesn't actually work the way I was hoping it would.
Yep, third Gatherer ruling.
Yep.
Which doesn't make sense to me, but that's a conversation for another time.
Yeah, no, like the wording of the card says it should work, but it doesn't. But that's whatever. I put up a different one. It's limited. I think it's good. Anyway, we'll hopefully be able to come up with more puzzles for every week. Other than that, contact us on Gmail at brewingwithbrewskies@gmail.com. Leave a comment if you're on MTG Cast. You can support G MTG Cast on their support MTG Cast page. It's a good thing. They give it to us for free. So free podcast hosting, free for us,
Yay, free.
not free for them. So if you can throw them a buck, they will accept a buck. Other than that, I've been Doug.
I've been Sean.
And we've been brewing with Brewski. Good night, everybody. Cheers.